I'm Susan Montanaro, and you're listening to Dreams and Detours, a show about the life we plan to have versus the one we're living, for better or not. Everybody has a story, and I believe we find ourselves in each other's stories.
Hi, it's Susan Montanaro. I had the great pleasure to chat with Barbie Haven, an author, motivational speaker, certified life coach, and Beachbody coach. We talked about being brave and granting ourselves a freedom pass in order to go from self-betrayal to living fully and pursuing our goals and dreams. Through her own transformation, Barbie learned how to look within in order to navigate life and the obstacles before her. Barbie is an incredible force and role model in her own life, which really allows her to coach and guide women to create a healthy, fulfilling life of their own. Please welcome Barbie Haven. Welcome to the show today, Barbie. So good to have you here.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Yeah. So you and I have been getting to know each other recently, and I'm fascinated with your story, your life story, and really the tremendous amount of navigating pathways and success that you've been able to achieve. Let's put it out there right away. Your success is not chance. It is not fluke. It is not luck. Your life and every step that you've taken and the richness of your existence today is really by design, your design. It is with absolute purpose and intention. And that's what I think has drawn me closer to you and my interest to talk to you and share it. Right?
I love that. Yes. Thank you.
Yeah, yeah. Because, you know, I think the most important part about this show is sharing people's stories, but really sharing the nuts and bolts of how we go from being in one part of our lives and going down one path of our lives and then diverting entirely into a new one. And sometimes those are really happy or, you know, positive kind of, you know, shifts and changes and detours,
right.
But often they're not. Often they are when we are blindsided in life or when we have these awakenings. So
yes.
Share a little bit about your earlier years and how your awakening came about. You start off your adult life after having a period of your childhood where you had your own struggles.
Right.
I almost feel like you'll see a portion of that pattern repeat itself in essence.
Yeah. Yeah. So earlier years, well, I think that I really just wanted to be normal. And so I had this vision for what life was supposed to look like, right? We all have this vision for what life was supposed to look like. And as I became a young adult, it didn't feel that way. It looked the way that I thought it was supposed to look, mm-hmm. sort of. It took a lot of effort for it to look the way that I thought it was supposed to look,
right.
You know, with the house and the cars and the boat and the stuff and the marriage and the kids, but it didn't feel the way, and I felt off. So those earlier years were just survival is really what I would call that.
Yeah. And so I know that when you first even entered into marriage and you were a young woman and you were really embarking on this whole new life, all right, leaving home and now I have my own and I'm going to create this version of home and family that I'm, you know, parts I may have had that I loved, but parts that I didn't have that I wanted. And uh-huh. So here you were orchestrating that life, getting it situated and looking the way you wanted it to, but it didn't necessarily pan out that way for you.
No. And I think that, you know, I'm very open about my first marriage, being married to an addict and how difficult that was. And I think that I didn't really understand that I was married to an addict until I was 8.5 months pregnant. Like it wasn't until I was like, oh, like this is a problem.
Yeah.
So by that point, you know, I'm young and I'm about to have a baby. Like it just was like, well, now what do I do? well, I got to make it work.
Right. And that's tough to do when you're dealing with someone who you've discovered has more than just like a small habit or indulges a bit here and there. Suddenly, you're about to be responsible for another human being. It's not just you anymore.
Right. And there's so, I learned a lot about addiction over the years because of my own recovery from codependency. And there's just so much that gets wrapped up being the person who's in the relationship with the addict. You lose yourself. So I was already on the path of not being my true authentic self because I was so worried about trying to have the life that I thought I was supposed to have. Right. Mm-hmm. And so then to have then even more of myself get stripped away, because that's what happens when you're in a relationship with an addict, is you lose yourself and you become highly codependent on trying to fix the problem. So over the next decade, I really just completely lost who I was.
Right. No, I can imagine that's easy. It's like, you know, getting sucked into a vacuum at that point in time. And especially if you're the primary breadwinner in your family and you're right. the primary caretaker of children, never mind the spouse, you know, and just to ensure that everyone is feeling good, that they're eating, that the home is in shape, that everything right. else are getting paid, right? I mean, so much ends up being on you that you don't have time to indulge yourself in any way, I imagine.
No, you just take it on. You just, you know, I look back on those younger years and people ask me sometimes, like, how did you do it? You just do. I didn't feel like I had a choice. Actually, that's a good point. I didn't feel like I had a choice. Well, for a long time, I thought that this was it. I didn't think I had a choice to be or do anything other than live that life that I was living.
Isn't that fascinating? Like I understand that experience when we just think that what's before us is everything. Like we just, that's it. There isn't really anything yeah. more to consider right. in terms of options. Yeah. Yes. It's a scary place to be.
It is. And when you don't know any better, like if no one has taught you that it's okay to change your mind, mm-hmm. then what a scary way to live your life. Right.
Yeah. Yeah. No expectations.
Right. It makes it really difficult to commit. But then when you do commit, if you have this belief that you can't change your mind, then, you know, I mean, that's just, it's just yeah. a recipe for disaster.
Yeah. So it's really cool because, you know, I understand that, you know, obviously you do not have that life any longer.
Oh.
You're light years away from all of that. But I think like the more important part was like, you know, how and when did you, when you were living in that particular point in time, how and when did you decide enough was enough? Because I feel like so many yeah. people listening in will either recall either being there as well and now they are no longer, or they still are and they don't know where the line gets drawn between the self-betrayal that takes place when they're in what would feel like a dead end or a helpless situation right. versus giving themselves permission to yeah. switch it all up.
Yeah. Well, one of the benefits of being a codependent, if I call it that, is that I was hyper focused on fixing. And because of that, I sought out help for somebody who could help me fix the problem. So the triggering moment for that was when the pain became greater to stay the same than it was to change. That's really what triggered it for me. But yeah, it's that, and that's, I think that's true for a lot of people, but then there's the how do you get there? Right.
Right.
Now I know that I want this change. How do I get there? So for me, it all happened at once. You know, I'm researching experts on addiction and like a counselor. I wanted to go see a counselor, not for me, but for him.
Okay.
To tell me.
Were you thinking you'll go see this counselor, vet them out, you'll get all the information, you'll bring it home and you'll try to distill it back to him? Or did you actually think that you would get him to go and hear it directly?
No, I literally thought that I would go to this counselor who would tell me exactly what I needed to do to make this problem go away.
Okay.
And I picked a counselor who was an expert in addiction on purpose. That was not by accident. That was by design. But I didn't know that by choosing him, what I was really going to do was spend the next 2 years in therapy with him on myself. Right. That I didn't know.
Right.
I went there to do one thing and I left doing something completely different.
Yeah. No, those are magical moments when we think we're going for one purpose and when we really, it's a self-discovery.
Right.
That we are the ones who actually need to be fortified.
Right.
And to be strengthened and rebuilt essentially in yeah. order to make the changes that need to be made. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think that, I mean, that was the very beginning of movement towards, you know, more self-care, more self-love, more, less betrayal, right? That was the very, very beginning. Mm-hmm. And it was really because my life was so out of control that, like I said, the pain of staying the same became greater than the pain of change, which included asking for help.
Sure. No, oh, no doubt. No doubt. I mean, look, you want to be able to feel like you've got this, I've got it under control.
Yeah.
You know, no one wants to be seen as either weak, fragile, or incapable.
Right.
You're a mom, you have kids, you know, you've got this and you're a very strong woman. So on top of it all, there was just nothing, it sounds weak or passive about you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So that's really what it was. And then that began the learning, right? That began the learning. So, you know, once you open the door to the possibility of something different, I don't know about you, but for me, you know, just after that one appointment of really letting go of what felt like 10 solid years of bottled up anger and anguish and emotion and depression and all of the things that I was holding in, it gave me a little bit of room to breathe.
Yeah.
It gave me a little bit of room to think, you know, what if something else? Because he gave me some feedback that was super hard to hear. But I picked him. He's an expert. So I knew he knew his stuff because I picked him.
Right.
That was intentional.
You're like, I did this on purpose.
I did this on purpose. So I knew that what he said meant something, but I didn't know what, and I wanted to know because I'm a learner.
Right.
And what he said to me was, after I shared with him all of my woes, what he said to me was, it's not about you. And
was that relieving or was that confusing?
No, it was super confusing.
Yeah.
I was crying and, you know, I had just spent 20 minutes crying or telling my story and all the things. And he was very kind and gentle about it. I was confused. I didn't understand it, but I wanted to. Mm-hmm. I wanted to understand. Well, if it's not about me, it sure feels like it's about me, but you're telling me it's not and you're the expert. You know,
so that
these
brought
are all
you
things,
back.
Yeah. These are all things that I'm thinking, I'm not really saying them out loud. I think I'm just crying in his office at this point,
but
I thought, well, there's gotta be something to that because he wouldn't have said that twice. He said it twice in such a loving way. He wouldn't have said that if it wasn't true. And he must know because he's the expert. And I know he's the expert because I picked him.
Right.
I was very diligent about that.
Yeah.
And so I did what I would consider my very first act of self-care, real act of self-care. And I called my mom and I, you know, told her what he said to me. And I asked her, can you call, this was a very intentional thing that I did. Can you call me every day for the next 2 weeks? And all I want you to do when I answer the phone is say, it's not about you. Hmm. And she did that for me. I just needed to hear it over and over again. And then when I grasped the tiny belief, okay, maybe it's not about me. If it's not about me, then what is it about? Well, then you're wide open for learning at that
Absolutely.
Point.
Absolutely. It was almost like that was your freedom pass when you think about
it. Yeah.
It's like you let the air out. It was your freedom pass. It was like, you know, you were all of a sudden informed that your feet weren't the feet rooted in the ground. That wasn't you at all.
100%.
That's brilliant.
I love that language. Freedom pass. That's, I talk about personal freedom a lot in the coaching that I do now. And it truly, I love that. It truly is about, you know, personal freedom is about being who you are in
That's
the world.
Right.
Without
That's
apology.
Right. Without apology. That's right. Always giving yourself permission to be who you are first. I mean, I see it that way. So really
cool and interesting, because obviously this would then be what triggers eventually getting divorced, eventually yep. setting up, you know, your life the way that you felt it could and should look at this point. I don't doubt for one minute you were becoming empowered greater and greater as time went on, just a function of being able to clearly see and distinguish yeah. where you fit into this situation. And then, of course, learning and grabbing all sorts of tools and means of moving yourself forward. So you're already self-sufficient in many ways. So you obviously are continuing down this pathway in a career position. And but you don't stay there, because we know already that you are this tremendous successful coach today. And so how do you use your like life lessons from upbringing through the marriage and getting yourself uh-huh. out of something that you clearly felt very stuck and very much, you know, glued in? And how do you navigate yourself out now into the world? I mean, did that moment give you the freedom pass to always feel that way? Or would you find yourself on a track where that wasn't really over quite yet?
Yeah, I don't think I've had a few freedom passes.
Okay.
Right. I think it's happened more than once, you know, it's, they're like stepping stones to get to the real authentic, true life purpose you. Right.
Okay.
And I feel like I'm as close as I've ever been. And I'm not 100% sure that I won't have another stepping stone.
Cause you're not done. No, I don't doubt.
Yeah. I don't feel like I'm done growing.
Right.
So the thing that moved me forward, and one of the tools that I've really always leaned back and use in my life, is curiosity, because that is what saved me in the beginning, was the decision to, instead of judge what he told me, was to get curious about what he meant.
Right.
And if we could do, right? And if we can do that whenever we disagree with our reality, I mean, arguing with our reality or arguing with our past or all of that is really pointless use of energy. But if we can get curious about why it is so, then we can learn about our own shortcomings or learn about our own behavioral patterns or whatever. Right.
That's right.
So that's kind of what I did. But I think that, I stayed in a not so great employment position for longer than I should have. And that would be like the next freedom pass was, I'm just going to use that word because that phrase, because I love it so much, happened after the divorce. And it was, you know, I had moved my kids across the state and I had started over as a single mom. And I think that the struggle with leaving that job, that career path, was that it was the last tie to my old life, because it was the same organization that I was working for, but it was just in a different location.
Mm-hmm.
And there was, even though it was painful to be there and it was toxic in some ways, it still felt, you know, there's comfort in your discomfort.
Yes. You feel grounded at least that much. I'm providing, I'm doing the right thing. I'm 100% accruing seniority. I mean, when it comes to work, it's a much different animal because it takes care of a different part of us and our lives.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I definitely felt grounded and there, and I don't know, life just has a way of, or maybe I wouldn't say life has a way. I'm a learner. And I don't like to sit still too long if I'm not learning. So I either need like a dream to move me forward. I need like to learn something new about myself. Like, I've always been that sort of curious person. Even, I guess maybe it was during the time that all the learning was happening. I remember, you know, I started getting really into personal development. I started getting really into self-leadership and just learning about why do I do what I do? And why do people do what they do? And I wanted to talk about it all the time. And I had an aunt.
That.
Yeah. And I had an aunt that was sort of like not understanding why I couldn't just be happy where I was. Like, why did I need to keep digging?
Do you want more?
Why did I want more? Yeah.
Well, let me ask you a question about that. Were you presenting in a way that you were not satisfied, or that you were annoyed or unhappy? Like, were you not living in a way that represented happiness on some level or contentment?
Maybe not yet. Okay. At that point, maybe not yet. I have to think about that to see how I could have presented. But I know that I always wanted to just keep doing, learning more and digging deeper.
Okay.
Into myself.
Well, I guess, yeah, especially once you start, I mean, therapy will do that for anyone, whether it's through a professional, like a psychotherapist, or it's through a spiritual leader, whatever. Once you start digging and uncovering yourself in this life, it's an interesting road to travel, because it really does all of a sudden open you up to an adventure and a learning that you wouldn't have reached.
No.
You wouldn't have uncovered, you know?
And it can be scary along the way too.
Yeah.
Right. That learning can be scary along the way. And then of course we are confronted with things that we don't really want to address. We don't I don't really want to talk about this thing, you know, that's not part of my history.
No, but I really like the way that you use your curiosity. And I really love the way that you said how staying curious allows us to see the parts of ourselves that might be uncomfortable, and to better understand those parts of ourselves. And that to me just screams like what fear is all about, right?
It is.
When we agitate, or we are finding ourselves in a place where we totally disagree, or we completely feel a passionate but negative passion towards something, I think it's so smart to just dig deeper and not ignore that. Do not brush that off. Better understand why you feel provoked or you feel the way you do.
Exactly.
Try to change your own mind, you know?
Exactly.
Yeah.
And in kind of in learning to be a coach and studying for that. And so, you know, I've had a lot of practice with self-coaching and also coaching others. So one of the things that I'm very aware of is when I'm resistant, and I know that what you resist persists. So I never want to go up. I don't want to go against myself, because when it's you against you, you're always going to win. And so the curiosity piece really helps me to stay out of judgment, which helps me to look at, you know, what my part in it might be.
Right. Open heart.
Yeah.
I love that. So here you are in your new life. You're going down this road, but you know it's not for you. And now this is not the first time that you are aware that you are not where you necessarily want to be. And the longer we stay in those positions, we both know that that means we are in need of change. Mm-hmm. And so how long would you end up, you know, waiting it out? And did you know right away that going and becoming a coach would be ultimately the route to go down? Or was that a time-consuming research project, if you will, to discover what you're calling?
You know, it was a dream. I attended a really intensive personal development workshop. It was like a 9-day intensive. It was amazing. I loved it. I learned a lot about myself. It was hard. And at that event, they had a lot of coach facilitators, and they were called life coaches. And I was like, wait, what? Life coaches? Like, that's a job?
Love it.
So that intensive was a lot for me. My experience was more about stripping away the layers and really learning more about what I really wanted for myself in the world. And so I left that with some ideas. And one of those was, I would love to be a life coach. I had a lot of fear about that.
Well, tell me about that. What was that fear about?
Well, I didn't know how. I didn't know how would I even do that? I didn't know how to, go that route. I just didn't know anything about it. But what I did have was a friend. She's actually my best friend's sister, who trained at the same place that I did. And she was in her training to be a coach, and she was needing people to coach. So, part of what we do as coaches is you have all your hours of coaching that you do through your training. And then you have people that you need to also work practice on. And so I'll do it. And she asked me to give her, come up before our call with three things that I, if I dreamt I could do anything, what would they be? And I wanted to be a life coach. This is what I told her. I'm helping her practice, right?
Yeah.
So I didn't think I was going
to want to be you.
I didn't know I was going to go anywhere with this. I was helping her out. So, okay, if I'm going to dream big, these are my three things. I'd love to be a life coach. I'd love to meet the man of my dreams who treats me well and respects me and is, you know, responsible and all those things. And at the time I wanted to be a Zumba instructor. So those were my three things because I really love fitness. Right. And so she said, okay, which one would you like to be coached on? And I got this like pit in my stomach and I was like, oh, that one that scares me the most is the life coaching thing. So I was like, well, I'm just helping her out. It's just an exercise. So I got coached on that.
I love it.
And then I signed up for coach training.
Through like, the institution that she was participating with. Yeah.
And I had sort of forgotten that, but yeah, I mean, it was like a month or two later. Maybe it wasn't quite that soon later because, yeah, maybe a month or two later, I was preparing for that and researching and I just decided to, something shifted in me. You know, that's what coaches do, right? We're shifters.
That's it.
And so I just decided, why not me?
Why not you?
And so I went for it and I got the man too.
How about that? That's because you put it out. That's because you verbalized it and you put it out there into the universe. You know that.
You did.
Yeah. Oh, this is the universe. Oh, we didn't know, but we
didn't know.
Okay.
Right.
Yes.
Crazy.
That's fantastic. So this is amazing because now you're on this new pathway. As a dreamer, you have a goal. You know that you're set up and positioned and aiming straight for it. And you go down this road. And so this is fantastic news. You get out of the program and yeah. Now you are, by all intents and purposes of the certification, able to mm-hmm. go out on your own purely at this point and now yes. drive up your own business. I take it they give you a little preparation in terms of getting clients, maybe this is how you market, or this is what yeah. you might want to.
There's some training materials there. It's, you know, there's definitely like, you know, it's a year of training for it to be a coach and then like a month of how to run a business, which sure. isn't really enough.
It's not
right?
business school, but you know, it's they kind of school. Inform you that you'll need to become good at the marketing arm and right. go out and get your clients. And were yep. you positioning during that year? Like you're like, I'm going to get clients. All right. I'm going to tap into these different places.
I was still, this is another strategic move that I did. So it's this like coming back to me now as we're talking. I wanted to leave my position, the job, the one that was grounding me, the one that I was comfortably uncomfortable at.
Yes.
And so, you know, part of becoming a coach was so that I could go and leave that job and do something that I loved. And so I had worked out, with my boss to be able to reduce my hours for 6 months. And during that time, you know, working part-time there, I was getting involved in the networking world and I was so green. I had never done networking before. I was really insecure. I didn't have a strong belief in my capabilities. Like it was just, you know, I didn't know the
it's
first
intimidating.
Thing
yeah.
Super intimidating. Didn't know the first thing about running a business. But I did meet some really great people. I got some hooked up with some really great connections. I picked up a couple clients. So I did have some kind of clients dabbling here and there. But I had signed on the dotted line that in 6 months, my job was over. So
you went from full-time to some reduced hours and that was your way. And then after 6 months, you told them that you were leaving?
No, that was part of the plan. Part of the, after the 6 months. Yep.
The plan was that you'd then be vacating the role entirely.
Yes.
Oh, so you really did have a very finite period of time to basically activate against this new career path.
I did. And boy, would I wish that I could tell you that it just turned out like with magical unicorns that I went on that yes. first day as a solopreneur and like crushed it. But that Boom. Is not yeah. what happened.
I understand this.
coach,
I get it.
That is just not what happened. Right. Yeah. What did happen is I, you know, by this point I am with my now husband. We are together. We're talking about marriage. Things are really serious. But I'm still a single mom of two young boys at this point. And I got to the day one of being a solopreneur. I guess it would have been July 1st of 2014. So, you know, day one, I'm on my own. And I'll never forget that moment walking down the stairs and just being like, what am I doing?
Right. Oh my goodness. What did
I do? Much fear, so much, you have a mortgage. I've got, well, my kids need insurance. Like what am I doing? And so I freaked out and, with some coaching, you know, I didn't make the decision in a vacuum, but with some coaching, I decided to go back to work, but I didn't go back to work at the same place. I went back to work, for a different company making a whole lot less. But the job was less stressful and it did open me up to be able to do coaching on the side. And so
okay.
I spent 4 years at that job.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah. It was really not like a right out of school, open your business, hang that shingle and boom.
That's really important to talk about out loud, I think, because often we dream of not being in our day jobs any longer.
Right.
And we look out at people who worked in finance and now they have yoga studios. My friends and I laugh. We're like, well, of course they do. They worked in finance, for God's sake. You know what I mean? Like, let's call it what it is. Or, you know, we look out and we attend different institutions and get certified in different types of modalities, whether it's healing modalities or what have you. And we realize we want to now pursue something different, but you're absolutely right. When you want to go out on your own, it is scary. And all of the things that might have kept you from pursuing it, they are real and they are true, but that doesn't mean that the road ends there and that you cannot figure out a way to get it done. It just means that it's not the seamless path that many either they themselves talk about or share and suggest is the truth, or that the institution selling you that certification will say is the truth and the reality at the end of it all. And so that's like a really important thing to put out there, because we never want people to feel fooled, and people generally don't take steps and leaps toward themselves and their dreams because they don't want to be fooled. And so, it's really important to talk about the fact that even though you declared a dream, you pursued it, you set yourself up, you gave yourself a what would really appear to be
a very healthy
ramp. Yes.
Yeah.
You know, it doesn't always just fall into place just because we want.
And
so you take a position, it is like maybe a little less than, or it's a smaller role and therefore smaller salary than you were used to. And while that may not feel emotionally and financially great in the beginning, at least you, as you just said, it afforded you some time to side hustle, to have the ability to work in your own projects and to weave in the idea of networking yourself or figuring it out. Because you weren't giving up and saying, oh, it didn't happen, so I can't do this.
No. And I knew myself enough because I had done a lot of work, right? Up to this point of knowing me. And I just knew that something fell off. And there also was a lot of fear involved too. So I knew that I was afraid, and I was getting coached to make sure that I wasn't making the choice solely out of just fear, but that I just had felt like something else was off with this path that I was going down. So
the solopreneur path.
Well, the solopreneur path toward the type of coaching that I was doing, which was, the initial solopreneur path. I just felt like the timing was off. It's I'm on the path, but this isn't quite right. Not yet. Not this. I really felt that intuitively, and it was, you know, one of the blessings of that change of position to a lesser role with lesser pay was that it really forced me to look at the identity that I had created, that I had myself wrapped up in that former position, because I'd been there for so long and it was a pretty, good position. And so I was, you know, my identity was wrapped up in that.
Mm-hmm.
And so I got to take a look at that and separate it. And you know, we don't want to be defined by a job we clock into.
Of course not. Especially not one that we're relishing in or, you know, right. Over, you know, proud or, I don't know if we're proud as our, but we're not, you know, bragging about like, this is it. This is where we dreamt to arrive, you know?
No. So. Yes. No. So I think I even had, you know, it was, I feel like there's just these milestones of healing. And that was one of them, because that position was attached to the old me, which was attached to my old life, which was attached to my first marriage and all of the pain. And so like really just, it was like, oh.
I sense it was what that attachment even represents is before you were using maybe your gut instincts or before you were allowing yourself to be awakened to this idea that you were driving and that you weren't a passenger in your own life.
Yeah.
And I sense that the tethering of those parts really represented something, and the clean break also represented something. And that had to feel empowering, if not initially, at least at some point down the road.
It did down the road. Initially, it felt really painful, especially because I went from an office overlooking a beautiful fountain, a view of like a mountain, to literally like a cubicle with no windows. Like right. I was like,
you went from feeling important and it being aesthetically pleasing to
yes.
I don't matter. Maybe I don't know.
100%. And you know, that's such a good analogy for my earlier years, right? It looked a certain way.
Yeah.
But how I felt on the inside during that whole time was the girl in the cubicle with no windows, like, right?
Yeah. Like so, she could be here or not be here and no one really cares.
Nobody really.
Yeah. That's interesting. I like weaving it together because we're the way that you and I know and believe our bodies and our minds and our spirits are connected. So are our pathways and our decisions that we make. And, you know, one really stacks or is connected to the other in some way. And so you have this chance to go down this road. You do indeed stay there for a while. And I think that that's admirable, to be honest. You know, you are still taking care of your children. You're still taking care of yourself. You want to make sure that you can do all of those things as you enter into a new marriage.
Yeah.
You want to come in clean. You want to come in standing on your own. You know, you want to come in feeling like you're independent, not codependent. I don't doubt for a minute there was residue, even if it wasn't conscious, but still,
right,
part of it. And so you stay for a while. That's okay.
Yeah. I really did. I really did get out into the networking world. And, you know, I got involved in some local nonprofits and I served on a board and I became the vice president. And so I really got to step up in you know, in my role as a life coach, not in a role as an employee someplace else. And so people knew that this was something that I did. And so I started to make a name for myself, in the coaching industry, or at least locally, people started to know who I was. And I started to meet a lot of people and I started to become more comfortable in this idea of, well, I could do this.
Yeah.
Lots of people are doing this.
I'm good. Yeah.
Lots of people are doing this.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. And you're meeting people and now they recognize who you are. And so does the next leap after 4 years, is it truly a leap for you at that point? Was it very cut and dry?
It felt cut and dry. To me, the leap was in, I'm going to say first thought, best thought. Just, I think the leap for me was in my relationship, because I'm in a position now where at that point where I'm building this coaching business. I've partnered with a fitness company. So I'm doing both fitness coaching and I'm now incorporating like my life coaching into it. And it's really the fitness piece, the fitness business coaching that has given me, the business tools and the business knowledge to move forward. And then it's my marriage that is supportive. I'm with somebody who is supporting me in taking that leap. Mm-hmm. Whereas that wouldn't have been possible before.
Right.
Because I was always the one that had to be in charge.
Right.
And responsible. And this is a much more equal give and take
Partnership, really.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so it kind of, it felt cut and dry in terms of like, I knew exactly what I wanted.
Yeah, no hesitation on that part, right?
No. I mean, did I have fear? I mean, I think that the normal amounts of fear, but...
Yeah, a little bit of angst, you know, that's very typical.
Yeah.
Because but let's really, face it, no one knows what's going to be, so we're just doing our best, right?
Yeah. But really the goal, I mean, I really had a moment in... I think it was in 2017. It was the fall of 2017 where I, you know, I realized that I had become, I had become somewhat complacent to like, well, I can teach workshops. I can coach on the side. It was like my coaching had become not something that I was like striving for and getting clients. And I wasn't like on the path of doing it as much. The life coaching side of things, but I had recently stumbled into fitness coaching and I was really loving that piece of it. So in September of 2017, when I really took a look at my circumstance, my employment, my environment, and I just thought, is this it? Like, is this really gonna, like, am I gonna be, you know, a cubicle and no windows forever? Because there's no room for advancement there. None. And so I did make another, this was another very defining moment. I made a conscious decision to put my head down and do the work and get it done so that I could leave that job. Like I had to prove to my husband that I'm serious about it, or I felt like I had to prove to him that I'm serious about this and that I can do this and I want to do this and I'm willing to do whatever it takes to make it happen. And so.
What did that look like when you said you put your head down and you did the work?
Oh gosh, it looked like not doing laundry. It looked like lots of shortcuts for cooking, which is kind of my MO anyway, but I mean like to the extreme. It looked like-
Because you were not busy doing what though?
Working, I was busy working, hustling, work 8 to 5. So I would, you know, get up in the early morning and I would work on my business a little bit and I would, you know, do my self-care and my workout and stuff. I worked out on my breaks or I worked on my breaks. I worked on my lunch hour. I worked after work. I literally just put in the hours to get the fitness clients who then, you know, several have turned into my group coaching program clients. But, I didn't go to happy hours. I skipped parties on the weekends. I worked on the weekends. I mean, I just,
you sacrificed. You know,
Yeah. Because I saw the, my dream at that point, when we talked about this earlier, my dream at that point was to not be stuck in a cubicle for the rest of my life. Right. My husband is a registered nurse. He works 3 days a week. Having the ability to be flexible with him was something that I was really wanting. So the dream was to leave the 8 to 5, you know, job and work from home.
Right. Because ultimately that would be a more conducive schedule for all of you, for the whole family.
Right.
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 So that's really what it looked like was just,
And that's a really big and bold move when you think about it, because how often do people in their established lives with children and responsibility, a home, you know, like you said, a mortgage and bills and such, when do you get the chance to all of a sudden, you know, just pivot and say, look, I am not going to be in the full-time role of wife mother because I'm going to need everyone to pitch in.
Yeah.
So that I can do this, you know, double duty essentially in order to create a life that I love, that I want to live, and that will make us all really happier in the end. Those are big asks and big sacrifices to make. And even though once you get rolling and you can prove that that is what you needed because it worked and you were able to build on it, so many people don't understand that that's actually required often. And
it's, yeah,
that's how you get it done. Like that's how you get it done.
you have to decide, right? You have to decide that you are, you have to decide that you're worth it. You have to decide that your dream matters.
Right.
And, you know, I still had, a kid in high school at this point where I was doing this sort of hustle and he was in track. So I don't know if you know anything about track meets and track moms, but boy, I mean, there are track meets like twice a week, sometimes three, and the meets are long. And so I would come and I would work from my phone, and I just worked in pockets of time as often as I could. And, you know, had conversations with the family about, you know, making sure that I'm taking some time off. And, right. But, you know, I got the greatest compliment from my son. The Mother's Day card, it's up there. I was like, I think I have it in my office. His Mother's Day card this year, he hand wrote it. He handmade it.
Love it.
And the message talks about the example that I've set for him.
See?
And
how brilliant is that, right? That must have that must have brought tears to your eyes.
It did. It did, because, you know, we talked about like what was the defining moment early on that made me take action, you know, when I was in that stuck place. Mm-hmm. It was my kids.
Yeah.
It was my kids, because I looked at them and I thought, if I don't make this change, and I can't make him change, right? Can't make their dad change, but if I don't make a change, then this cycle is going to repeat.
That's right.
And I just looked at my babies. I mean, they were what, 5 and 8 when we divorced, and so what, 3 and something when I started therapy. I couldn't allow for that. I had to give them a better chance. And so we do things for our children that we are somehow unwilling or unable to do for ourselves, that give us courage to take action.
Right.
That gave me courage to take action, which then led to that freedom fast that you talk about.
Yeah. But in the same time, clearly you were setting a life example for your children.
Yeah.
You know, you taught them to dream. You taught them to self-respect. You taught them to plan and be curious. And you've taught them how to work hard for what you believe in, even if it means doing double duty in order to get there, and to make sacrifices that are healthy.
Right.
The first one you made was saving them.
Yes.
And the next one you made was saving yourself, essentially. And
100%. Yes.
You know, there is no bigger gift to give to anyone, especially yourself, than to live a life that is respectful and that is loving. And that is just being kind, you know, in every way that word can be used, really just being kind.
Right.
Yeah.
And being kind to yourself, right?
And you must. As a big,
giving yourself
big statement that I make, be kind to yourself. Yes.
Giving yourself grace for the mistakes that you will make, and the failing forward, and the figuring it out, and the holes in the sidewalk, and all of the things that
absolutely
that are just part of life.
Absolutely. Absolutely. That's, you know, we'll always be a little bit of trepidation or, you know, anxiety or just some concerns, those that light level, because we don't know what will be. But, you know, the more we know who we are and the kinder we are about ourselves and those around us, it really sets the stage. So anything that comes toward us, we feel a little more equipped, or we feel a little calmer in being able to find solution or use what we just already have, you know, enough.
True. Like once you kind of get over some major obstacles in your life, and we all have them, right? And so once
sure
you make the decision to act with courage, and really, you know, do something about the thing that you want, once you do that, you have that experience to rely on forever.
That's right.
So when I'm standing in a moment of fear, when I'm standing in a moment of, this feels hard and I don't know if I can, or, you know, whatever the limiting beliefs are that might be trying to hold me back, I can look back at where I came from and be like, well, I mean,
yeah,
I did that.
Exactly.
I mean, I moved across the state by myself in a city with 2 small children in elementary school, where I didn't know a single person,
right,
and started over from scratch.
Right.
If I can do that,
you can kind of do anything.
Yeah. I mean, that's what I have to tell myself, and I say that just from a place of that we all have that in us, Everybody. We all have it in us. We just have to know how to tap into it.
We do. And we have to actually believe in ourselves and let ourselves go and fly, you know?
Right.
That's why it's like, I mean, it's very common, and I know I did it for years myself, to get stuck in our heads.
Yes.
It's very easy to dream or to wish and plan and think and imagine and never activate against it. And want to the point where you're aggravated with yourself. You don't even want to think about those wonderful ideas and notions because you feel stuck and you won't activate.
I literally, like, this reminds me of one of the things that I did in making the decision to, you know, end the first marriage is I have journal entries of me figuring out how I can financially make it on my own, right? How can I do it on my own?
Yeah. You're plotting and planning early.
I was. Yeah. And I think that we just have to know that we have the strength within us to be able to do those things.
That's what we impart to our clients as well. You know, just a belief in yourself, knowing that you are resourceful, knowing that you will find a way.
Yeah.
Knowing that you will tap into your tribe or your pool of resources and you will find a way and push yourself forward.
And ideally, I would say community, right? Because we don't get here by ourselves. No. Most of the time, we don't get here by ourselves. So that is one of the tools that I continue to use is to surround myself with people who are where I want to be. If they're where I want to be, then I can learn from them. I can grow from them. And I don't, you know, I'm sure you've heard this phrase of, you know, not always being the smartest person in the room.
Definitely.
I try to not ever be the smartest person in the room.
Absolutely. I am with you on that. I think I raised myself as an adult by not being the smartest person.
Yeah.
You just watch, you listen, you learn,
yep.
you execute what you learn. You tap yep. further into the things that are, you know, striking a nerve or a chord inside you.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Somebody that's in that, you know, higher learning place than you are makes you, you know, you end up feeling sort of off. Question, like, why? Where does that come from? That might be another little thing in you that you get to uncover and then release because whatever that is holding you back.
Absolutely. And it's funny because I think there was a period of time when I thought, oh, you know, I hope I'm bringing as much to others as I'm taking away from them, the learning. Right. Sometimes it's just about what books to read or music to listen to. Other times it could be deeper and bigger and bolder than that. But you know, even over the years, I've realized now we all come with gifts. You know,
right.
we're all giving, hopefully. We are all bringing and giving and being as generous in return. So, yeah. So great. I love talking to you.
I love talking to you too.
I feel like I learn every time that we chat too a little bit more and just, I don't know, you remind me to keep my own brain open. I'm a very curious person, but I like, again, the way that you put it out there for me, for the listeners to use it as a way to check yourself. I just think now more than ever, it's a brilliant and kind and soft way to, I don't know, keep fortifying yourself with anything that feels uncomfortable.
I agree. It helps you stay out of judgment and help you lean more into compassion and kindness for everybody, right? Yeah.
It's productive.
Yeah.
Yeah, for sure. I'm so glad you were here today.
Thank you so much, Susan.
Absolutely.
This has been a blast.
And just as a quick shout out to the listeners of where they can find you, but we will for sure put this in the show notes.
Yeah. I have a website that is desiredlives.com. So DESIREDLIVES.com. And I also have a free community on Facebook where I coach women, offer free mindset trainings and tips and lots of helpful and helpful strategies for mind, body, wellness. So I'm a big believer in, and that's called the Desired Lives Collective. Okay. That's on Facebook. So big believer in the mind, body connection. We've talked about that before.
Yeah, absolutely. No. And I think that's brilliant. And I look forward to sharing that actually, because I feel like this episode more than ever is going, you know, the timing of it, it's brilliant. And I just feel like, yeah, we really need to bring people together to make those connections and distinctions for themselves. So that's going to be great fun. Yay,
thank
you for having you
so much. Thank you so much. This has been amazing. I really, really appreciate spending the time with you.
Me too. Terrific. Thanks for listening, everyone.
That's it for this episode of Dreams and Detours. If you like the show, please rate, review, and subscribe and share it with your friends. You can find me at dreamsdetours.com and at dreamsdetours on Instagram. Thanks for listening.